You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, October 29th, episode 3807. Good morning, horse people.
Hello, horse world. It's Wednesday, the day you start daydreaming of a weekend with your horses. We'll help you get there with more silly horse talk on Horses in the Morning.
That's right. It is Wednesday, and we're glad you're here. Today, we're going to learn all about the Field Hunter Championships and how they work with Amy. She is the chair of the Theodore Randolph Field Hunter Championships. Of course, Jennifer found that one because it involves fox hunting, and you know, she sees everything fox hunting. Uh-huh. Jamie got to record one of her many vets that is talking about butters, right? Isn't that the topic today?
Yes, we had the vet out for butters yesterday.
Okay, and you recorded it, so we're going to hear that.
I'm like squirrel right now. So there's a baby deer. It's not like a spotted fawn, but it's like a little older. And it clearly its mom jumped the fence and like left. And he's running around in my front yard. No. So I'm like, squirrel, I keep watching. I'm like, come on, buddy. Right there.
Make the leap.
You got it. And the last time this happened, I was like, I got to open the gate. And so I tiptoed all the way out and I was like, I got to open the gate and let it get out. And the second I went outside to open the gate, it was like,
he jumped
the fence.
Send the Homer out there. I'll take care of it. Chase him right over the fence. Do we have weird news also?
We do, and we're going to do weird news a little different today because I noticed a theme. So we are going to make it almost like weird news study show where you have to guess.
Okay. All right. We can do that. And then in the Otter Post show, Jennifer went to the Designer Dogs Kennel Club. Did you know that was a thing?
No.
It is. It's a real thing, the Designer Dogs Kennel Club, and there are hundreds of bizarre designer breeds of dogs that they recognize. And I have the list, and I thought we could go through some of the names because they're very funny. So we'll do that in the post show today. Yeah, obviously, our thoughts are with everybody in Jamaica and the islands. I've been to Jamaica several times, actually, on cruises. And I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures or videos coming out of there, but it is as you would expect a Category 5 storm to be. So our thoughts are with all. It's going to take a long time for that recovery.
A long time for the storm to get through. What I've seen is like 2 miles an hour, and there are so many impoverished people in Jamaica that makes me sick. It breaks my heart.
When you see the videos of you know, the huts they live in with the metal roofs all gone and, you know, mm-hmm. just flooded and everything, it's bad. So, any case, on a happier note, I wanted to let everybody know that Heather and Natalie from Adulting with Horses are doing a listener meetup at Equine Affair in Massachusetts, which is coming up. And they're doing a listener meetup, and these are the details. So, it's going to be Friday, November 7th and Saturday, November 8th at 5 p.m. So, they're doing two separate ones. So, whichever day you're there, 5 p.m. at their booth. They actually have a booth for Adulting with Horses, and they'll have all their books there and all that stuff, too. It's at the Better Living Center, which is kind of the main building there with all the booths, booth 610. So write that down, booth 610, because there's a million booths. But they'll be there, and they're looking forward to meeting everybody. So if you're an auditor or a listener and you want to hop on over there at 5 o'clock on Friday or Saturday, please do that. And that's coming up next weekend. So everybody have fun at Equine Affair.
Okay, baby deer update.
Yep.
I think I have a pet deer now.
He hasn't left yet. Just laid down and taking a nap.
It's quit running. Now it's just walking up and down the fence line. Now, by the way, this is not a place that deer get caught. They're never in my front yard. It's not a thing. It's my driveway. And it's just stuck on the side of the fence. And it's just now walking up and down. Probably 5 feet. Oh, like, okay, it's so 4 feet. I mean, it's not a huge fence, but it's
one like a deer should cover easily.
It's like a no-climb dog fence, and it's a normal-sized deer would laugh at this, but this little sweetheart now is going to have to live with me. Come on, baby!
And mom's now looking around going, where the heck did that one go?
little butthead.
Pretty soon you're going to see a search party. There's going to be like 10 deer come out of the woods looking.
Well, I'm watching. I'm like, this is like a TV show. I need to not do this podcast so I can just watch the show.
All right. Keep us up to date. All right.
Okay.
All right. Happy birthday to two of our auditors, Ashley Mitchell and Hannah Jacobson. Happy birthday to both of you. Also, I wanted to send out a congratulations. Auditor Marlene wrote this on our auditor page. So proud of my girls. My horse and my daughter, Jamie, just won the Wordeca Classic 3-day event for the second year in a row. So congratulations to them. She must be so proud. That's so cool. So let's make it 3 next year.
Gosh, I have so much to talk about. I would like to give a Daily Winnie out to, let's start with the fact that yesterday I got to go to Remington Park and do Pulse PEMF on a bunch of racehorses, which was like the most fun thing ever. And the horses were very appreciative. And then after that, I'd like to give...
Wow, you could make a full-time job out of that once the word gets out, right?
It's I really enjoy
it. Just go down the fence row, go down the barn rows.
Exactly, exactly. And then also, remember Miami Moonlight? He has made his way to Horse and Hound. He arrived yesterday. There was a delay of a day because of weather, and I was like, oh my God, I told everybody he's coming, and he's not going to come, but he's come. He is now safe in the stalls at Horse and Hound.
Yay.
And then third daily, when he goes out to, I just had a day at the vet office on Monday. So I had an appointment for Butters because he's getting like his confirmation is getting weird. And what I thought was like his bones are going faster than his tendons. And so he's kind of like knuckling up on the front. And then I've talked to several vets about it. And so many vets have told me kind of different things. So I called out Dr. Snowden to come out and just like, hey, man, give me a piece of paper and homework, and I will follow it to the T. So thanks to him. Then I took Homer to the dog vet because he has this like weird something on his tail, but he won't let me look at it. And he was just like freaking out. I'm like, I couldn't even touch it. And so I was like trying to clip it and everything. No, it's like a wound on his tail. So I take him into the vet, which by the way, day of, because it happened Sunday, day of veterinary appointments for small animals is almost like, it's more expensive than an emergency call for a horse.
Or so a I take person.
Yeah, so I've got Butters to see in the vet, and then I take Homer to the vet. I spend roughly on the 6 months supply. I spend a lot of money on pest control and fleas. So like flea and tick and heartworm medicine, they get this thing that's like a trio for fleas, ticks, and heartworms. And then also I have a pest control service that comes once a month and sprays my house. And do you know what this stupid thing on my dog's tail was? Flea allergy.
Oh no.
I'm like, he can't have fleas. Like, there's no way he has fleas or like he has fleas. And I come home and I see Danny in the corner who's scratching. And I look at Winks. I'm like, son of a gun. I just spent like $200 for my vet to tell me I have fleas. So that became all of the things. So between all the veterinarians and the vet bills that I had this week, I did at least manage to record my vet telling, because I need things written down. Or an audio form. So I sat down with Dr. Snowden. Now, mind you, he's new to me. He's not new to the vet world, but he's new to me. And I said, hey, do you mind if I sit down and just record you talking about this? We'll just have like a 5-minute conversation on what's going on with Butters. And he was like, okay. So he sits down with me and I turn to him and I go, Do you have any reason why we're doing this? Do you know why we're doing this? And he was like, I don't know, TikTok. No, I'm not going to video record you for TikTok. And so then I had to explain what I do for a living, like oddly, but and then one of his texts goes, yeah, it's about Butters. He's famous. And I was like, oh, crap. So his text listened to me, but he never heard me. And so here I am trying to interview him. And he's like, when he got done, he's like, I can't wait to tell my wife. She's going to think I'm famous now. I was like, I go, yeah, to like 14 people, you're going to be a big deal for like a day.
You want me to play it?
So here we go. He's super cool. I'm really grateful. Okay, I'm in the barn sitting here with Dr. Tanner Snowden. He is my veterinarian, whether he likes it or not. And he works for Oklahoma Equine Clinic, and he's a board-certified surgeon. And he comes out here and looks at my baby. Thank you so much for taking a couple minutes to talk with us.
You're very welcome.
So I brought you out here to look at Butters, and everybody wants to know what's going on with Butters because he has been a constant challenge. He's my first quarter horse, and he's constantly... He didn't have enough, and now he has too much, and then vice versa, and it's just like it's like a roller coaster with this baby horse. And so I guess everybody wants to know what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, so nothing. I don't see anything wrong or big changes we need to make. We're kind of fighting genetics on this guy, and a lot sometimes in these bigger, growy type colts, the bone. They lay down a lot of bone quickly, and it outgrows the soft tissues. And you see club feet in the front, or they tend to knuckle in the front or hind. And he's wanting to knuckle a little in the hind, and it's just a matter of him laying down a ton of bone quickly.
So, the prognosis today was yes, he's doing that. We did take some blood to check on some numbers there, and also. To change his feed. So lay it out. I've got to love him less.
Love him less. Yeah. And so you know, individuals will, that's the thing. You can love one too much and with feed and we're just genetically predisposed to being a little growier. And so decreasing some of the calorie amount on him, and still providing enough nutrition and forage, obviously, but just decreasing some of the calorie count and letting soft tissue stretch and catch up with the rest of our long legs.
Is this a typical challenge of quarter horses, or just any breed has this kind of problem?
Yeah, it can be seen in a lot of breeds and not isolated to quarter horses. It's something I've seen in thoroughbreds as well.
Okay, so we're going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, Butters is great. We just have some work on these legs, and I think it's like, you know, you just have to, you make changes today, and those changes with bone aren't seen for 2-3 months down the road sometimes. And Butters is good. He's on the right path. It just needs time.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you coming out.
You're welcome. See y'all.
I love the word growier. That's a new one.
I've never heard that one. I love that. He's a growier type colt. I'm like, yeah, he is. I don't know what that means, but it sounds really cool. He's a growy colt.
So what this is telling me is you're feeding him too much, and chill the hell out, Jamie.
Well, here's the thing, Glenn. When he was weaned at like 2.5-3 months, so I had to figure out a way. So then I wasn't giving him enough good stuff. And then the next vet's like, you need to give him some better stuff. And so I give him some better stuff. And now it's like too much good stuff. It's been just a, like I said, a roller coaster with this guy. So the good news is we're on the way. He did give me some shoeing options as well. I'm just going to kind
of... Do you put shoes on little guys like that?
No, but when they have problems like this, he was talking about you take a horseshoe and you put it on backwards with a wedge. So where the wedge would be in the heels, the wedge is now on the toe. So it stretches those tendons out a little bit more. I'm going to just leave it for a bit and just let things kind of happen. But we had to take down a little more of his heel and just different things. So really nothing major.
Was he good for him? Was he good? Was Butters good for him?
One of the reasons I wanted him to take blood, I was like, I would like for you to make sure this is not a robot. Like, this is the best baby horse ever. I get him. I bring him out of the stall. He's handling him. He's picking up his back feet. Butters doesn't move a muscle. He's so good. He's so good. And I'm like, is he alive? Like, is he sick? That's the whole thing I've thought this whole time. I'm like, check his blood work. See if the white count is elevated because he seems
somebody
sick.
Drugging him when I'm not looking.
He's so calm. Again, it might just be the difference in quarter horse babies and warm blood babies is all I've had. So I don't know what the difference is, but oh my God, he's like really, really good. Everybody loves Butters. Love it.
Well, this is the least expensive option of all of them that it could have been, right?
True, true. I paid a lot of money to have a conversation, and I ended on the podcast, so hopefully I can write this visit off.
Yeah, you can send that into Equine Network, see if they pay for it.
Yeah, I just wait for that. I'll hold my breath.
See, you don't send it to me anymore. You send it to Ashley now.
I knew better to ever send it to you anyway.
I think you're going to get the same answer from Ashley, to be honest.
Hello, turnip, give me some blood.
Speaking of health stuff, there's an event, virtual event coming up that I wanted to highlight, and they sent a little audio for us to play, so I'm going to do that right now.
From bucket leaks to better culture, how can we create positive change in the equine industry? Join the University of Guelph's Bachelor of Bioresource Management students for the 10th Annual Equine Industry Symposium, a free event bringing together international speakers and passionate horse enthusiasts. Learn how to foster connection, compassion, and sustainability across all corners of the equine world. Each evening features an open discussion, your chance to share your voice, your questions, and your vision for the future. This two-night virtual symposium takes place November 18th and 19th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Zoom. Register now through our website, www.uoguelph.ca, and search for Equine Industry Symposium, or our social media pages, Equine Symposium on Instagram or bbrm.equestrian on TikTok, and be part of shaping the future of our industry, because progress happens when we come together, ensuring that no knowledge, opportunity, or insight is lost. The Equine Industry Symposium, inspiring change in equestrian culture.
Well, it's Halloween this week, and you know how I like Halloween. I just love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday of the year.
I feel like you're being sarcastic.
My least favorite holiday of the year is Halloween, but I know other people, they really like Halloween. So for years and years, we had our listeners write Halloween stories, and we'd record them and play them on the show. I don't know why I didn't hear from Horse Nation this year, so I guess maybe they didn't do it. But I thought I would dig through the archives and I would share a couple of Halloween stories. These are from the past, but they had some production value to them, and our listeners took time to write them. So I thought we'd at least play a couple of them this year. So I'll play a couple now and a couple on Friday. But here is some Halloween stories written by our listeners and performed by all of us.
The Family Next Door, written by Laureen Barton, edited by Alicia Skye. The old man opened the back door of his farmhouse and started limping towards the red barn. The years of hard work from his rodeo days were taking its toll on his body. The October leaves rustled and crunched under his worn cowboy boots. Billy hurried as fast as he could to the sounds of a horse pacing and moving frantically around his stall. "Why do they have to be so loud?" grumbled Billy as he pushed open the barn door. "Those damn noisy neighbors." "Easy, Trigger. Everything's just fine. Only a noisy neighbor," Billy told the horse as he clipped the lead to the halter to walk him out of the stall, just as a head popped over the fence. Billy and Trigger both looked up in surprise as the man seemed to appear from nowhere. "Hi there. My name is Ned, and I just moved my family here from the city. I have a young daughter who's never seen a horse. Do you think it would be okay to bring her over?" Ned, his wife, and young daughter Shelley moved to the country for some peace and quiet. He had held a very high position in one of the most well-known companies in the world, but gave it all up to spend more time with his family. Billy sighed and looked up at Ned with sadness in his eyes. "Sure, bring her around front." The old man slowly walked across the yard, leading Trigger to the gate with almost matching limps, both with their crooked hips and skinny, gaunt faces. When Billy opened the gate, the little girl came bouncing into the yard, eyes wide with a giant smile to see a real horse finally. He wasn't sure how Ned had gone to collect her and bring her back so soon. "Can I give him a carrot?" she asked enthusiastically. "Just one." Trigger eyed the carrot and lowered his head to eat some grass instead. His teeth were mostly worn away, as old horses' teeth usually were. Ned looked at Billy. Hey, I have an idea. We're going to meet some of the other neighbors tonight. Why don't you bring your horse with you? I don't think that'll work. We have to stay here. Well, we hope to see you around. A few weeks passed and Ned hadn't seen Billy or Trigger since the first meeting. He had taken his daughter to the park to get some fresh air when he saw Billy sitting on a park bench, lead rope in hand, and Trigger slowly grazing on some grass. Trigger raised his head in alarm. Fuzzy brown ears pointed forward. Hey, Billy, I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. I was wondering where you and Trigger have been. Billy slowly looked up at Ned. Oh, we've been here. Nowhere else to go. This is the prettiest horse I've ever seen, Shelley said as she reached to stroke his velvety nose. You should have seen him in his heyday. Billy turned his head towards the young girl. What a superstar of a bronc horse he was. The best the rodeo had ever seen. The next day, Billy was in his house washing his coffee cup in the kitchen sink when he heard noises from the barn again. He looked out of the open window and decided to go check on Trigger. Billy made his way down the dirt path as fast as his aching hips would let him, finding his horse pacing and frantically trying to get out of his stall as if he could climb the walls. It's all right, Trigger, Billy said as he attempted to calm his friend. Ned popped his head over the fence again and the old man jumped, not hearing his neighbor approach. Is everything okay with Trigger? Is he still upset from that lightning storm some time back? Yep, Billy replied. He'll settle down soon. Billy knew once Ned left, Trigger would go back to munching on his hay because the horse only spooks when Ned and his little girl are around. A tear rolled down Billy's face as he watched Ned fade away. Poor guy doesn't even know that he, his wife, and his daughter perished 2 months ago in that horrible storm, Billy whispered to Trigger. Lightning had knocked a tree over, and the flaming tree landed on the house, fire engulfing almost the entire structure. Tomorrow, a new family would be moving into the rebuilt home. I wonder what'll happen when the new family moves in, Billy thought.
This spooky story is called The X Racehorse, and it is written by Horse Nation reader Paige Cerulli. It is written in the same meter as Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. Once, in a bleak, cold November of snow squalls I well remember, my rider arrived one day with my saddle at my stable door. While I munched hay, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping of those boot spurs gently rapping, rapping on the stable floor. "'Tis a mistake," I muttered, "must be headed for some other door. Only this, but there was more." Uncertain that my rider realized this wouldn't be a ride idealized, I squealed and spun and stomped my hooves in athletic feats not seen before. I tried to warn her of her error and of the impending terror. Thanks to the horrific weather, we'd had no turnout in a week or more. Antsy-pantsy, anxious horses with no turnout in a week or more, but still she stood at my stall door. On went my saddle and my bridle, the girl not happy to be idle, was fully unaware the dangers that her confident nature bore. She led me to that ring of horrors. She couldn't see what's in those corners, in those dark, creepy corners filled with horse-eating beasts not seen before. These ghastly, savage, horse-eating monsters no humans ever seen before, but I am wiser, I know more. She mounted up, I was sweating, pawed to show her I was fretting. Fretting at the prospect of the doom I felt within my core, and then I heard it, cracking, sliding, a chunk of snow ice swiftly gliding off the roof and landing with a thud against the arena door. It lurked and taunted us from where it sat by the arena door, and I knew it would just bring more. Cracking ice above accenting every footfall I was getting, more and more on edge with every trip by that arena door. As the shadows did their dancing, I couldn't help it, I was prancing. Prancing when I first caught sight of light through that arena door. It laid there, beam of sunlight cast before my hooves upon the floor. I simply couldn't take it much more. I shied and jumped. My rider soothed me, but her dismissal just confused me. How could she miss the molten lava upon that arena floor? She pushed me on. I tried to listen, but that light continued to glisten. As she reached back to pull my sheet to leave upon that cursed door, The static from the quarter sheet upon my rump I can't ignore. You're fine, calm down, but there was more. The door it opened, and through it entered a fuzzy mini. On its back, centered a little squealing child delighted. Along the ring the duo tore. I tried to watch them as my rider, feeling me tense, drew her reins tighter. Tight against my mouth until I couldn't take it anymore. I spun and stared, and still there's more. Pony, said I, the thing of evil, barely equine, more the devil. The little creature pranced and snorted, tip-tap hooves upon the floor. Then the evil creature farted, and the whipping wind it started, moaning through the edges of that cursed far arena door, accenting the sound of pony farts that I abhor. You're fine, calm down, I'm fine no more. So I leaped in fits of terror, and my rider saw her error, saw it from 8 feet above that suddenly solid arena floor. In the damp dirt there she landed, and I took off as I had planned it, bucking, squealing, cursing devil ponies and that evil door. Ride me again on a winter day and tempt fate with that cursed door? Quoth my rider, nevermore.
We're all looking to save money right now. Check out the State Line Tack Clearance section for help saving money on top quality riding gear and other necessities. You'll find a great selection of inexpensive riding supplies at discount prices. Don't wait a second longer and shop for everything you need for your next ride from the clearance section of State Line Tack. Also, get 25% off any order of $49 or more. Enter coupon code HRN at checkout. Some of the products are not eligible if they're already in mega discount or if there's a manufacturer restriction on discounts. You'll see that right in your shopping cart. Just put the stuff in your shopping cart, type HRN in the coupon section, hit enter, and it'll show you which ones get the additional discount. So do that at statelinetack.com. Now coming up, we're going to be talking a little fox hunting, but in a little different way. Well, coming up, we have Amy McNeely. She's the chair of the Theodora Randolph Field Hunter Championships. That's a mouthful. And I assume that's down in Virginia somewhere?
Yes, we are based right here in Middleburg, Virginia. That's where our championship takes place. That's the heart of everything we do. But every year we host hunts from all around this region. But everything is centralized in Middleburg, Virginia.
You know, what's funny is Ocala and Lexington. I live in Ocala. I used to live, Jamie and I both lived in Lexington at one point. Always fight over what's the horse capital of the world. It really should be Middleburg, Virginia.
It's debate. I think it depends what discipline you ask, right?
Yeah, that's
true. For fox hunters, it certainly is. You know, the Middleburg region, but you know, for hunters and other things, it can go either way.
And that's okay. It's so pretty where you are, though. It really is.
It is beautiful, and especially this time of the year, it's absolutely stunning. This is a fantastic time to host the competition and for people outside of the area to come up here and just see it. I mean, it's just stunning. So,
and you just got done with this year. So, tell us, what is a field hunter championship? What do you do?
That's a great question. So the Field Hunter Championship, we host people, we invite people from hunts from all across North America. So Canada, anything within North America, if you are a part of a hunt, a registered hunt, and it used to have to be an MFHA hunt, we've extended that. So registered farmers, packs in good standing with MFHA, you are welcome to come and hunt with us for the week. We have host hunts, and it's Monday through Thursday, our host hunts. Those are our qualifying legs, and the competitors come out any of those 4 days. You don't have to hunt all 4 days. But any of those 4 days, they come out, they hunt alongside of the judges, and that's when they qualify to be able to ride in the finals. And the finals vary whether we do it on Friday or Saturday. We're trying to find the best way to do that. And that's, we pin first through eighth place at the finals, along with several other awards. And I assume we'll get into talking about that a little bit further. So that's the basic format.
So I make it to the finals. What am I judged on in the finals?
Right. So a couple different things. There's different tests throughout. I would say roughly 10 fences. It changes a little bit by the year. We like to mix up the finals course. But, you know, the way of going, a lot of it is on a hunting pace. So, you know, after whether your horse goes 2, 3, 4 different days of hunting throughout the week, you've got to decide what's best for your horse. But is your horse going to go out there on the finals course and actually still move at a hunting pace? Can it go by itself at a hunting pace? That's always a big question, right? They may have to open a gate. They may have to get off and remount. This year, we developed a new fence that was, it was wonderful. We had some great donors, JS2 Fences, that built it. And it was a great in and out. It was whether they could actually handle that stride correctly and go through it at a hunting pace, right? There's some trot fences built in on some slopes, a hand gallop. There's always different tests. So we like to see horses doing things outside of the hunt field and see how they can handle those tests.
Think eventing cross country with less color.
Exactly. Yeah. More in a hunt format, but yeah. Yes, the finals course is similar to that, just with more hunting style fences.
And less like bright green and orange. And things.
Yeah, so, no, none of that.
So, Jamie, if you haven't watched it yet, Jennifer sent a video this morning on our Facebook Messenger, and this is what caught her attention to book you. It's this video of an, it looked like an adult rider out with a kid on the cutest damn pony I've ever seen. And
yes.
That pony was going 90 miles an hour. I mean, that kid was having a blast. Was that this year?
That was Violet on her little pony, Alexander Shenandoah, aka Lex. They were such a pleasure. So this championship works, it has primarily been adults for many years. And within the last couple of years, we opened it up to juniors as well at a lower fee. Because, I mean, the sport, to be honest, fox hunting is dying. It's a dying sport. And we really want to encourage juniors to come and join us. Now, I don't ask a junior's age when they register. I only make it clear that they must ride in first field with an adult. Now, when this little junior popped up and she was barely in double digits, on her little barely double digits hand high horse.
Yes, that was the cutest pony.
I was appalled. It was just not what I expected. But she went out, she rode every day, she hunted with all of the best hunts. I mean, she went out with Orange County Hounds. Now, Orange County Hounds has the highest fences. They go the longest, they go the fastest. And she held up with all those adults. That kid earned her spot at the finals.
Oh, that pony was not stopping at any jump.
So she told me, she said, Miss Amy, I'm not sure how it's going to go at the finals. I said, listen, you just go out and you have fun no matter what. And the pony had a hard time by itself. So Mo, who is the adult rider in that video, she went out with her once we already knew she wasn't going to make it around. And she just spun her around the course. They had the best time. She left with a positive experience. And I just really hope as the competition moves forward that that's, you know, what we're able to teach any kids who join and, you know, that we leave a good mark on it. So
I'm glad you did that, too, because, hunting is a different kind of thing, right?
Yes.
And you need to make it inclusive, right, for everybody.
Yes.
And especially,
absolutely,
as you said, the youngsters, because it is damn fun. You get to ride fast and jump jumps, and I mean, it's fun.
And there's so much to learn, and there's so many people to meet, and you know, it's just such a great sport. So moving forward, I think, you know, one of the things we might do next year, because we had so much fun with Violet, we had another junior, we've had a couple juniors year before, we're looking at making a junior division so they can ride amongst themselves. They'll still have to go out and hunt first field, but maybe we'll have a different finals course for them that's a little more inviting if they have smaller horses, and let them compete amongst each other and lower that entry rate a little more for them. So we'll see how that goes. You try to do something different and, you know, make it better for them. So
in endurance, they have best conditioned is one of the awards they give after the endurance ride. And you don't have to have one or anything, you know, it's just they judge the condition of the horse. You have some other awards that you give out too. Tell us about those.
Yes. So we have the Dr. Matthew McKay Smith Award, which is the top placing thoroughbred award for racing horses. So it has to be a registered jockey club horse for the retired racehorses. So this year that went
what, 30 years ago, they were all thoroughbreds, weren't they?
Yeah. It's just not that way anymore. You know, some years we see them as a majority, most of the years not. I mean, we have the widest array of breeds. So, but this year that went to our champion. She was there on a thoroughbred, and she is also actually related to the Matthew McKay Smith family.
Wow.
So that was a really special award for her to receive. We also have the most suitable pair award, the most suitable horse and rider, which is great. And of course, the best turned out awards. And we award the grand champion BTO and the reserve BTO. So we're trying to encourage that tradition of turnout and
how
the history of all
that. How many hunters did you have this year?
We have 33 entries.
Okay, cool. And they came from all over the place.
We're hoping to be a little more, but yeah. We have 13 from North Carolina, which was incredible.
Huh.
13 people, or 13 entries, rather. A couple of those were duplicate entries, you know, riders that brought several horses, but 13 entries from North Carolina, which was just remarkable to me.
Do they bring their own hounds, or do you provide the hounds?
No. So the hounds come from the host hunts each day. So, you know, Monday we were down at the Keswick Hunt Club and we hunt with their hounds. Tuesday we were at Bull Run, Wednesday Orange County, and Thursday with Loudon Fairfax. So we travel around, and next year will be different hunts.
That's kind of cool, though, because you get to experience four different hunts in a week.
Exactly. And when you go that far out, it's different territory, different types of jumps, you know, maybe trappy, it may be wide open fields. So if they have an idea of the area, they can choose where they want to go with which horse or on what days and really show their horse off, right?
You know, hunts are getting much more inclusive now, too. They're encouraging people to come out, whether you have a quarter horse or, you know, Jennifer's going out in her pseudo Western saddle. I mean, you know, they're just, it's not like it used to be where it was just rich people who hunted. It's not that way anymore. You're looking for anybody that wants to have a good time and ride their horse.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, as long as you adhere, you still have to adhere to the turnout to an extent, you know, and there are rules, but we want this to be fun for everyone.
Well, one of my fondest memories of the time my wife was at Myopia was they had a Thanksgiving hunt. And that was my favorite day of the year, was to go out and thousands of people would come out and watch that hunt. They would line the streets and you would kind of have an idea where they were going because it was a drag hunt. So you could do that. Uh-huh. And the nice thing about watching drag hunts is they never stopped. They were just going, you know, like a regular hunt, you stand around a lot, but this was just flying. So it was one of the things I remember the most about my wife's hunting time was watching the Thanksgiving hunts.
That's incredible. I'm actually a member of Blue Ridge and they do a massive Thanksgiving hunt. It's at the Long Branch Mansion, which is I believe it's a registered historical property here. And it's the same thing. The whole town comes out on Thanksgiving morning. It's a huge breakfast. It's absolutely incredible.
There might be some alcohol involved.
Maybe.
There might be a little bit of alcohol involved.
You gotta stay warm, man.
It was cold too up in Massachusetts during that Thanksgiving day.
Oh, yes.
Well, this is fantastic. Where can people go to find out more or if they want to find a local hunt near them and give it a try?
Yeah, so our website for this is www.tarfhc, so Theodore A. Randolph, tarfhc.com, and everything about us is there. We also have a Facebook page with the championship name. You can keep up with our posts. And
that's where
you'll
see that video I think we were talking about.
Yes,
too, right?
It's posted. I posted it on there, yeah. So that's for all the latest information. The MFHA is the best place to go to find information on a more global platform in terms of hunts for, you know, just the general nationwide purview, if you will. You know, and then there's just a general fox hunting Facebook page where you can go and just ask a question if you want to know, hey, what's around me, or who can help, or where can I hire a horse? There are so many resources, and anybody in this sport really is willing to help. You just, you know, reach out and ask a question.
Amy, you're a perfect representative of this, and we thank you so much for joining us today, and hopefully we get that up to 100 people at next year.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
I'm here with the mad scientist who developed Daily Dose Equine Horse Feeds, Janet Geyer, and I wanted to have a quick chat with you because Daily Dose Equine Horse Feed are non-GMO whole food nutrition based. And a lot of people go, oh, that comes from a small, dedicated feed mill. I won't be able to get that when I travel. They're wrong, aren't they?
They are. You can get it through Chewy anywhere in the United States. Or if you live locally in Maryland and Northern Virginia, you can get it delivered.
There you go. Chewy.com. It will deliver it anywhere you want. You can also schedule delivery in advance so you can have it delivered every X number of days, and you can go in there to your account and change it every time you move horse show venues. So check it out today, dailydoseequine.com online or chewy.com.
Well, Monday we announced that Jamie and I started a storefront to put in the products that we talk about here on the show, the non-horse products, that we talk about here on the show. And then the books also, the authors we've interviewed recently, and we put links to their books. And we get a little bit of a commission to help pay Jamie's vet bills. and so if you use that link, whatever you go to buy, we get a little bit of commission. It doesn't cost you anything. And it's amazon.com/shop/horsesinthemorning. I'll put the link in every show notes page that we do from now on. So if you're listening on your player, just go to the show notes and there's a link right there. We did get a question from Charlotte, and I don't know the answer to this. She said, well, I use the app on my phone, and I don't know how you link us to your app. I don't know how that works. I need to do some research on that. And if I find anything out before Friday, I'll let you know on that. But we appreciate, I noticed some people started buying through the link. So thank you for that.
What you can do, I think, is if you go to amazon.com/shop/horsesinthemorning and you go to that link and then you put something in your cart, it automatically goes to your...
If you're logged in,
your
right.
Your cart, right. Yeah, on your app. So yes. Maybe that helps. I don't know. Oh, good Lord. Who cares?
I'll look at it and see if I can come up with an answer to that. Charlotte, thanks for bringing that up. Also, I wanted to remind everybody that the voicemail entries are now due for holiday week coming up. Our old radiothon is now the Horses in the Morning holiday week. And this year's theme is the Year of Equine Gratitude. What are you thankful for in your equestrian life this year? Excuse me. And there is a form where you can submit the sound files. If you record them right onto your phone and send us a sound file, I'll put that in the show notes as well. And if you want to record them on our voicemail line, just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the voicemail button right on your phone and start talking, and it comes magically to us. Remember, they can be about your horses, about us, about the show, about other auditors, about butters. I think we're saying that because what makes a more perfect rhymy thing than butters? These are due by November 21st because we need time to put them together for the show. So November 21st, we are getting some prizes in. We won't have $5,000 for the prizes like last year, but we are getting some prizes in, so we'll have some prizes, and we'll have ways to sign up for the prizes without submitting a voicemail a little later, too. But we do love your participation. Do you have some weird news?
I do, but first I've got to give you an update on my pet baby deer.
Oh, yes.
Apparently, my pet baby deer has run away. So
I guess
it found its way out.
You sure Chad isn't out there, didn't capture it, and
I know,
it's
right?
In the barn somewhere.
He's re-released it miles away. So it won't live in my bedroom.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
This one's not going to be like an embarrassed to be a part of the human race, but I got emails and weird news stories from these people: Matt, Laureen, Shelley, Shannon, John, Brittany, Jennifer. All of you sent you were looking through the news and you saw something and you were like, whoa, that's super weird. Now, some of you did send inappropriate things, which I cannot do on the show, but I do love reading. So thank you very much. You know who you are. But if you are ever looking through the news and you say, that's so weird, email it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com, just like those folks did. But I noticed a trend today in a lot of the messages that I got. So then I went on a deeper dive, and just it's been a wild week or so for... I'm going to read... Kind of like tell the story and you have to guess the animal. Okay. Cause it's like an animal based weird news.
Okay.
We're going to go to Derbyshire, England. And there was an animal found that apparently escaped police for weeks and they finally caught it. What do you think that the animal in Derbyshire, England was? That was on the loose.
I'm going to guess it was something that isn't normal to England. So a kangaroo.
No, it was actually a crocodile.
Yeah, that's probably not normal in England.
Apparently, the crocodile kept disappearing into the canal system. And I guess they have finally...
Where did it escape from?
It seems to have entertained social media followers. They don't know. It just was in the canals, and it kept coming out of the canals.
Some
and
dummy
back
brought
and...
a crocodile home from Florida. And...
We got to speed this up because, yeah, exactly. Somebody snuck it in. Because we're going to go to Glasgow, okay. Scotland right now to the Grand Central Station, and they had something on the tracks that caused the railways to shut down for an afternoon. Remember, don't ask deeper questions. Okay, I only have the headlines. Because there's so many questions and very few answers. Okay. What was on the tracks at the...
A large snapping turtle.
Swans. Swans. Oh. Swans was on the thing. There was an animal in Florida that was in an apartment complex in the hallway.
Alligator.
You got it. Ding, ding, ding.
I got one right.
People were driving down the highway in Washington and noticed an animal up against the wall. I don't know why this made news, but it was just an animal when I had to include. What was the animal under the concrete barrier on the highway in Washington?
Bear.
It was a kitten. Apparently
exact
that
opposite
makes,
of a bear.
That makes news.
By the way, it's National Cat Day. Happy National Cat Day, everybody.
Woohoo. Okay, so the next one was some animals were found wandering through an Arizona subdivision. Arizona subdivision animals.
Arizona. I'm going to go with camels.
Goats. Bozeman, Montana, all these people are sitting at a distillery, like a brewery / distillery, and they're on the patio when they were visited. What visited the brewery people on the patio?
What animal
in likes Bozeman, Montana?
Beer in Montana. That's got to be an elk.
Black bear.
Should have went with bear. I thought bear for initially, but I'd already said bear.
We're in Texas. There's no limit to your guess. You can say the same thing every time. There's no rules here, Glenn. Okay, this guy is pumping gas in Texas, and an animal walks up to him. What was it?
Pumping gas in Texas. An animal walks up to him. It's got to be an armadillo.
It was a cow.
A lot of those in Texas.
Okay, so the Mediterranean island of Cyprus has 1 million residents, and they are saying that they have figured out that there is at least one of these animals per resident, with the potential of having hundreds of thousands of more that are unaccounted for. What animal in Cyprus is matched by the human population?
I was going to say snakes, but islands don't usually have snakes. I'm going to go cats.
You got it, buddy! Cats! There are
Happy
like
National Cat Day, everybody.
1.5 million cats. See, I didn't know it was Cat Day. Okay, Berlin, Germany. Berlin, Germany, in the city. If they say if you see it, make a note and give them a call, but do not approach. What is wandering on the loose in Berlin, Germany?
An ostrich.
You guessed it earlier. It was a kangaroo. Well, a wallaby, actually, in Berlin, Germany. Because why not?
Why not?
Okay, we're going to go into southern Arizona in the grocery store. An animal walks in and the automatic doors just open and it comes in. What animal was found wandering around a southern Arizona grocery store?
Oh, that's got to be
Come on.
Dog. Raccoon.
It's a bear.
I'm thinking too small.
Yeah. Okay. And let's hope we got a couple more here. In Cambodia.
By the way, that's a smart bear. It's in the grocery store.
I mean, it went right where it needs to go.
Yeah.
An animal was seized from a house in Cambodia, and social media people went crazy saying, return the animal to this man in Cambodia. What animal was confiscated from a house in Cambodia?
An elephant.
A lion.
Jeez. Yeah, maybe not give it back to the man.
Yeah. There's a Cuban man that lives by the water, and every year he is visited by several of these as all of these animals travel to his home for the season. And there's lots and lots of them that are right outside his door.
I'm going to say a bird of some kind. Migrating bird.
Pelicans. And apparently he's made friends with
them. They just got blown away, by the way, because Cuba got hit by the hurricane. So
yeah, but yeah. The sweet guy. Hopefully he flew away.
The Pelicans are now flying, whether they want to or not, up toward us again. So
and finally, there is a man in France that has invented a new hand soap. He's invented a new hand soap. What is he making the hand soap out of?
Does this involve an animal?
Yes, it does.
I'm going to say it's some kind of insect.
When I think of cleansed hands, I think what I would like to do is pick up one of my hundreds of thousands of pet snails, pull the slime off the bottom, and wash my hands with snail slime. Ooh. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is flooding the markets. This coming December, you will be able to find out how you can achieve perfect hand cleanliness with snail slime. He said that he doesn't hurt the snails. I'm going to quote, this is his quote. Okay. It's all in the dexterity of how you tickle.
What?
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird news.
The price of escargot just skyrocketed.
Let's go back to the guy with the pet lion.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's focus on him. Pet lion.
Oh, God. Can you just picture this guy tickling the bellies?
And... No.
And how much slime does it take to make it like a little hand sanitizer full?
It's so weird.
And then wouldn't your hands smell like fish all day?
Ugh. Dude, I should not have ended on that one.
No, you shouldn't have, because that's going to be in my head all day. Well, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Hang on, auditors. We're going to be talking about some funny designer dog. I don't know if you call them breeds. Whatever they are, designer dogs.
That we call those in the horse world, we call those grade.
Yeah, okay, grade dogs. We're talking about some weird grade dogs in the post show. And guaranteed some of you are going to own these and we're going to get hate mail. So we'll be doing that in the post show. Hang on. And get your ads in for bad ads on Friday. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We'll be giving a prize away on Friday as well. So we'll look forward to talking to you then. See you, everybody.
Spade or geld?
Wait a minute.
From Bucket geld Beaks. Them growing colts. Wait a minute. Colts.
Where the heck is that closing? There
Why
it is.
Are you want me to sing it again?
Apparently everybody liked you singing it the other day. Oh, no. Cool.